It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Congress is considering President Biden's request for $6 billion of humanitarian and defense aid for Ukraine. We'll talk to Democratic Representative Ron Kind about Russia's invasion and what he'd like to see the U.S. do next. First, loneliness is a big problem, and during the pandemic, many of us dealt with it in ways we hadn't before. A new project from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee is taking that issue on. It's called Lonely No More. It brings together researchers, experts, and artists to talk about the complexities of loneliness and strategies for getting out of lonely spells in our lives. You can join in at 800-642-1234. When do you feel lonely? Has there been a time in your life where loneliness was a problem? Was it during the pandemic? What changed then? Or have you found a way to feel connected with friends and family, especially during the pandemic? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Anne Basting is leading the Loneliness Project. She's a professor of English and director of the Center for 21st Century Studies at UW-Milwaukee. And welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Why take on loneliness as your first project as part of this new center?
Well, I just started as the director in August, and we picked themes. My tenure is 3 years, and so we picked three themes: well, duty, and trust. And within that sort of umbrella, we picked Lonely No More, the making and unmaking of loneliness, isolation, and connectedness. And then next spring, we'll turn to nourishing trust. And also then in the third year, looking at voting.
Loneliness, I know, was a concern in the United States even before the pandemic. What are some of the reasons you think are behind that?
You know, it's really interesting. I've been, of course, doing a lot of reading and then bringing together a lot of speakers that will be having some virtual roundtable conversations. It's really in 2018, the UK had a minister, created the position of a minister of loneliness, followed by Japan that did the same thing. We in the United States had the National Academies of Science pull together a task force to do a report on social isolation and loneliness that came out on the internet in February of 2020, just so people could read it as they were on lockdown to learn how bad it is for your health. So it's been going, the interest has been surging before, but then I think with the pandemic, it was just felt. The research has really also been supporting the links between the health impacts of loneliness and isolation, the stress responses in the body, and just how profoundly loneliness can affect our health.
One thing that struck me is a survey you did on loneliness, and it wasn't just, you know, scale of 1 to 5 stuff. It was a lot of opportunities for people to kind of describe the subjective experience of how loneliness felt, some of the emotional words that surround it. And a lot of people, we'll get into this, talked about the circumstances in which they felt lonely and in which they felt connected. What were some of the things that have struck you about some of these new survey results?
You know what? You're right. We really wanted to go kind of beyond just the Likert scale of 1 to 5. We wanted to really draw in people's responses to the sensory and the narrative behind people's experiences of loneliness. So there were just 10 questions, and we called it, as part of our spring programming, a participatory research project. Just 10 questions. When you think of a moment when you experienced loneliness, what are three words that come to mind? And then we asked, similarly, what are the colors that come to mind? What are the sounds that come to mind? And then, is there a story when you think about a moment of loneliness? What story comes to mind? And then we did the same thing for connectedness. And then the final question was, what are some tactics that you've used to move from one state to the other? Really celebrating and focusing in on people's resilience. And I was really struck. We had the survey open January and February, and I was really struck by the earnestness and the thought that people put into their responses, sharing some really beautiful stories in all three of the areas. And the results were really great. We had pretty good, strong participation. And yeah, I'm happy to share a little bit about the results. They'll also be on the center's website as well.
Well, one thing that really struck me about when people describe when they felt lonely, when they felt connected, I think if I picture in my head, you say a lonely person, I'm thinking a person in a room by themselves. But so many of the examples of loneliness are in front of a classroom, with a partner in a neglectful relationship, like being lonely around people. Some of the connected examples are kind of epiphanies, wonderful experiences of solitude, but feeling a sense of connection anyway. What does that tell you about loneliness?
It really tells you that it doesn't matter whether you're in solitude or physically away from other people, that loneliness is a perceived emotion. And that it can happen when you feel misunderstood in a group of people or disconnected from a group of people, or it can happen when you're all by yourself. Either way, you know, also as part of our programming, we have little tiny short podcasts. They're called 6.5 Minutes With. And this week's podcast is with a religious studies professor at UWM, David Del Valerio, who does research into ancient practices, Tibetan practices of meditation, long-term solitary meditative practices. And he talks about how the word lonely never comes up in that in those histories. And it's because I think when isolation is attached with purpose and meaning, we don't feel it as loneliness. And that really, that theme came up over and over again. And in a lot of the research and some of the speakers we have coming in, their research really looks at the connection between the negative impacts of loneliness around when people feel a lack of purpose and meaning.
We're talking to Anne Basting from UW-Milwaukee about a new project there called Lonely No More, getting a lot of perspectives on loneliness, what it is, what drives it, and what to do about it. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you want to answer some of those survey questions we were just talking about. What does loneliness feel like? What words do you use to describe it? What situations in your life have you felt lonely? If you've come out of a lonely part of your life, what did it take? How did you get connected to people? How did you feel connected to people? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And when I've talked to you in the past about your work with people dealing with dementia, I was always impressed by kind of all the disciplines you draw from and the wide variety of perspectives. That's what you're doing here too with loneliness. Can you talk about the range of perspectives you're bringing in on this?
Sure. Well, and the survey is one of them, right? Yeah. Because today we also are sharing out the survey results and making them public. And along with that comes a call for creative contributions. And people, if they visit the website, will see that. And we're asking people to respond to the survey results and share with us writing or visual art or proposals for change making, social change around easing isolation, and submitting those to us by May 1st. And then we will share those publicly in June. We're also doing those 6.5 minute podcasts with a whole range of really fascinating people. Professor Helen Bader Endowed Professor of Applied Gerontology, Colleen Galambos in social welfare at UWM, was on that task force that I talked about, the National Academies of Science. And she shares with us in her podcast some of the findings from that report. David De Valerio from Religious Studies. One of our speakers coming up is Stephanie Gibson, who's a PhD candidate at University of Pennsylvania in art history, who writes about monuments and memorials to trauma. And she led tours at a prison in Eastern Philadelphia that was designed for all solitary confinement, and just sort of explaining to people viscerally and experientially what that means going through that experience. We've divided up the virtual roundtable conversations into addressing the infrastructures of loneliness. So what are those things that help us make experiences of loneliness or unmake them socially and physically And the first one of those roundtables has Eric Kleinenberg, who's written quite a bit about the move toward living alone in Western cultures and just how infrastructurally we aren't really set up to handle that. And so we're on the fly trying to create systems to connect people. He talks a lot in one book in particular called Palaces for the People, mm-hmm. about the power of libraries for social infrastructure. And then also in that conversation, we're bringing in Joan Johnson, who's the head of the Milwaukee Public Library System. Chikako Ozawa da Silva will be on that call. She writes about lonely societies and particularly looking at Japan and the lack of meaning and sense of purpose in young people's lives in Japan as being very overwhelming while she was researching it. And then Jason Danley, who writes about aging in Japan. So it's really kind of a cross-cultural look around two different cultures dealing with loneliness and social infrastructures to handle them.
We're talking about loneliness with Anne Basting, English professor, director of the Center for 21st Century Studies at UW-Milwaukee. She's with us today to talk about the center's new project called Lonely No More. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How has loneliness shown up at different parts of your life? How has it changed maybe during the pandemic? Or I've seen some studies, talked to some people about this. Have you found new ways to connect with people? Maybe better ways, ways that felt made you feel more connected than you were before the pandemic? Love to hear about that. You could join in at 800-642-1234. 1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. By the way, you can check out a conversation with Eric Kleinenberg at the WPR archives. He joined us to talk about that book, Palaces for the People, when it came out. The conversation continues coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation about loneliness and a new project at UW-Milwaukee called Lonely No More. Anne Basting is leading that project and stays with us. And you could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your own experiences with loneliness. Have you found ways to work through a lonely point in your life? What did it take to build, maybe rebuild connections or to find new ways of dealing with solitude that made it a positive, not a negative in your life? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. And another part of Lonely No More, I understand, is an interactive book club. What is that? How's it going to work?
Well, it's really a collection around all the different topics that we're discussing around loneliness. So the infrastructures of loneliness. We have one called Weaponizing Loneliness, where, we have this thing in this country called solitary confinement, where we know the negative impact of isolation, and yet we deliberately create it widely in our carceral system. And so we have some reformers on talking about the implications of that, and then also the resilience of people who are incarcerated to those experiences. We've got the interactive book club shares readings from all of the different conversations that we're having. So people can pop on there and look at the different conversations and then give us an email if people would like to have a discussion and host a discussion with us about it.
I should ask, there's a lot of ways for the public to participate in various elements of this. What is the best bet? What's the best way to start if people want to participate in the book club or the call for responses and poetry and things like that?
It's all right at the website, uwm.edu, and then /C21, Center for 21st Century Studies.
What are you hoping for the outcome? You've got a lot of different angles here, a lot of public participation. What is your goal? What are your hopes for the success of this project?
Well, I think in general, the way we've restructured our programming is really that the humanities are critical to human experience. I think we're an interdisciplinary humanity center since 1968. And we're really seeking to build a community of scholars to address the most pressing issues of our time. So really getting these issues out all across the state, a big believer in the Wisconsin idea, all the way to the borders of the state. And having people participate in all kinds of different ways. We've stretched out the programming so that we have multiple points of access and multiple ways of knowing as we describe it. The really fascinating thing, I think, is the call for creative contributions that the people will see on the website today. And also to check out the survey results. Our deputy director, Nicole Welk-Yeager, created this beautiful report. And you can read about the strategies for loneliness relief in that report. The responses were really illuminating. People, 22% of people said they call a friend, 16% listen to music, and 14% get out into nature and take a walk. I loved how some people shared their tactics, some of which were effective and some aren't effective. So one said, visit a coffee shop, effective, take a nap, ineffective. Another person said, bad habit, scroll social media, better coping skill, pick up the phone and actually call someone, especially my sister. So you'll get to read all these responses on there. And I think they give people sort of a sense of people's humor, but also you can feel the pain and struggling with some of these conditions, especially around the experiences of loneliness.
Talking to Ann Basting about the Lonely No More Project at UW-Milwaukee. If you're feeling shy about sharing your loneliness experience, I understand that. But if you're willing to share, 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. And nobody's calling in right now, which maybe doesn't surprise me that much. Are people reluctant in some cases, do you think, to talk about their loneliness, especially in a public forum as opposed to maybe a private survey?
I mean, we got hundreds of responses to the survey that were deep and genuine. Mm-hmm. And it was completely anonymous, really only asking people for where they lived. And we had, 38% of people were from Wisconsin. But our answers were from 5 different countries and 26 different states. So we had quite a range of responses. And I do think, you know, there is a stigma around the experience of loneliness. People think it's a personal failure of some sort, but it's not. I mean, all of the reading support, all the research supports the fact that loneliness is a human condition. In fact, it's part of our baked into our genetics and our evolutionary component, because it tells you sort of throws up a caution and sets up a stress response to tell you that you need to get back connected to other human beings. That's why it raises stress levels for people. I think people associated, to me, some of the most interesting responses were in the color questions that we got. Mm-hmm. 45% of people talked about the color being gray, and 20% said blue. And yet, in contrast, when we asked about connectedness, 13% of people said blue. And really, what the responses really kind of felt like was that people associate loneliness with a lack of color and connectedness with a range of brightness. So it was pretty equal between like blue and yellow and green and red, almost as though isolation is more of a lack of color and connectedness is colorful. The sounds were really interesting as well, that 28% of respondents associated loneliness with silence. But also what I saw coming up in sort of the word cloud there was sounds of more of machinery. People talked about clicks and hums and static, as though all you could hear was machines and not other human beings. And then in the sound responses to connectivity and feeling connected, you heard sounds of nature and human beings. So water, laughter, chatter, wind, people just said nature, things like that. So it's interesting also how I think one of our roundtable discussions is on
I want to jump in, Anne. I'm sorry. Yeah. We've got a caller. Dawn is with us in New Berlin. Want to get talk to Dawn before we run out of time. Hi, Dawn.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Dawn?
So, well, I was just calling if you've had any experiences. My husband passed away 2 months before COVID, and then COVID hit, and it was kind of like a double whammy. So I just been trying to adjust and moving and a lot of life changes and just, you know, trying to figure out how to cope with all of this.
Don, that is so hard and understandable that would be hard. Have you found at least small ways to feel connected with people?
Oh, yeah. Like, I have friends, you know, just getting out with nature. Like, today I took a long walk, and that helps, but it's still, you know, so different going home to an empty house.
Of course. Of course. Dawn, thank you so much for sharing that story. Best to you. And Dawn is exactly the person you're hoping to find some good strategies for, some ways to help connect.
Yeah, and we heard stories like that too of people of the overlap between loss and grief, particularly in the pandemic when so much of that was pronounced. You know, with Dawn, it happened right before, and then the isolation of the pandemic sort of ratcheted that whole experience up. I think that the survey really, the stories inside of the moments of loneliness and connectedness are really reassuring. That people can, there are tactics between the two. It's not like the state, like you'll only move from one to the other permanently. It's more of a constant cycle where you can find ways to bring yourself into feelings of connectedness when you're feeling that being overwhelmed by loss and by missing someone. I think that a lot of people talked about the power of writing and really articulating the feelings. And I'm thankful to Dawn for saying that here, because a lot of people go through that. And to write it and say it out loud, that's what one of the respondents said. When I feel that profound loneliness, I say, oh, I am feeling this loneliness. It is normal and I am going to move through it.
That's a great place to leave it. Dawn, thanks for the call, and thanks to Anne Basting for joining us, professor of English and director of the Center for 21st Century Studies at UW-Milwaukee, talking about the Lonely No More Project. We've got a link at WPR.org/Central Time with a lot more info. Stick around, more coming up here on Central Time.